Go, and I said to him, something that crossed my mind about Easter. We celebrate Easter Friday, and we celebrate Easter Sunday. But what of Saturday? What about Easter Saturday? We don't seem to think about Easter Saturday, do we, at all? We focus very much on the Friday, the crucifixion, and on the Sunday, the resurrection. But what happened in between? You know, many years ago, there was a theologian named Tony Campolo. He wrote a best-selling book, and it was called It's Friday, But Sunday's Coming. I'm sure that some of you have probably read it, and if you haven't, it's well worth a read. Because he focuses both on the Friday and on the Sunday. But nowhere in his book does he mention the Saturday. In fact, I checked with my Bible. And even in my Bible, there's barely a mention of Saturday. Only Luke mentions it. And even then, just as a passing. So why Saturday? What's the thing about Saturday? You see, I think that in many ways, the Saturday, when Jesus was in the tomb, is one of the pivotal points in our faith. Surely it must be more than a time when we say, well, yesterday he died, and tomorrow he will rise again. Surely Saturday is more than that. So what happened between Easter Friday and Easter Sunday? To most of us, probably nothing at all. But I had to sit and think about this for a while. I had to go back and kind of relive those few days. You see, the situation is that Jesus is dead. Joseph of Arimathea has gone to Pilate and is being given permission to remove him from the cross. And he's placed Jesus' body in his own tomb, the tomb that he was preparing for himself when he died. A big stone has been placed across the entrance, and a guard has been placed upon the tomb. All this happened on Friday. So we might say, well, it's finished. And certainly in the eyes of those that were living in Jerusalem at that time, they would have probably said, well, it's finished. It's finished. But just supposing we were able to go back. If we could go back and enter that tomb on the early part of Saturday morning, what would we find in that tomb on the early part of Saturday morning? Well, I believe that we would find the body of a recently crucified man. He'd be lying on a slab. Wouldn't have been a pretty sight. The body would have been bloodied and rigid with rigor mortis. But we can't go back into that tomb, can we? Because there's a great big stone across the entrance. There's no way in. But you know, I believe that in the silence of that Saturday morning, there is great activity going on in heaven. There is a great preparation in heaven. I believe that there is enough activity going on in heaven to change eternity. At the same time, demons are raging and screaming in fear. Satan's been stripped of all authority and power. And Jesus Christ has opened the doors of heaven and ushered in both the thief who died with him on the cross and all those who have believed in the coming Messiah down through the ages. Friends, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. It's Saturday and they're rejoicing. The dead man's father no longer has his back turned towards him. There is a sense that a celebration is about to take place at any moment. And I think this is why Saturday is important in our church calendar. Yet back in Jerusalem on planet Earth, it's business as usual, isn't it? If you could have stopped a man in the street on that Saturday morning and asked him about the events of Friday, his response probably would have been, well, it's Saturday and it's all over. It's all finished. You see, to him and many others, they'd say that it's all over. Forget it. Dead and buried. The fat lady's son. It's history. It's history. But hang on a minute. If you'd been there, there's a man over there. His face is in his hands. He's sobbing by the wall. His name's Simon Peter. 2 days ago, he never would have dreamed that it would have come to this. Others will deny you, but I never will, he'd said vehemently. Lord, I'll never deny you. But Simon, you did. You did deny your Lord. Simon can still, in his mind's eye, hear the cockerel crying. He can still see Jesus turn his bloodied face towards him, looking at him over his shoulder, as if to say, I told you, Peter, but you wouldn't listen. Peter there, with his head in his hands. This great rock upon which Jesus said he would build his church. He's now a has-been. He's all washed up. It's Saturday. And it's all over, thinks Peter. It's early Saturday morning. Caiaphas, the chief priest, has just got up. He feels good. He's finally got rid of that charlatan. It's been a pain. 3 years he's been a thorn in my side, thinks Caiaphas. 3 years. 1,000 days I plotted to scheme and get rid of him. And now, glorious Saturday morning, it's over. It's finished. On a chair in the corner of his room are his torn Levitical robes, his priestly garments. Granted, it was against the Levitical law to rip them, but it'd been a nice theatrical touch that had. It had pushed that stupid Sanhedrin who were wavering into voting in favour of the death of that messianic pretender. But it's Saturday and it's finished. It's all over. In his fortress on the hill, Pontius Pilate, he's washing his hands again. They feel sticky, but that's ridiculous, isn't it? His wife's having a lie-in. She's usually up and about really early. But she's not been sleeping well lately. Lately, she's been having terrible dreams and nightmares. They seem to be associated with that prisoner that he's just had put to death. She's been quite hysterical about it, but this is women, isn't it? It's all over now, though. Last night, the guards had brought news that this lunatic, who thought he was some sort of a king, who wouldn't even defend himself before him, the procurator, had died rather quickly. Some of the Sanhedrin had come to him and asked for guards to be placed around the tomb in case his body was stolen. As if. These Jews are a funny bunch, he thinks. Strange bunch of people. But at least it's all over now. All done and dusted. Another couple of days and this Passover celebration thing will be finished with. And he can get out of this stinking city and go back to his palace overlooking the sea at Ashkelon. It'll be good to breathe that fresh sea air again. Outside the city gates, someone out for a walk comes across a gruesome sight. A corpse dangles by its neck from an olive tree. Scattered on the ground, 30 pieces of silver. A later investigation rules it a suicide and discovers that the man's name was Judas Iscariot. They wonder why he committed suicide. What must have been going through his mind for him to do a thing like that? In a tiny house, a woman cries. She had such high expectations for her son. When he'd been dedicated at the temple 33 years before, an old man, Simeon his name was, he'd warned her. He said, "This child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. And he will cause you great pain. It'll be as though a sword is piercing through your soul before it's all over." Now she knows what the old man was talking about. It feels like hot coals are burning her heart. And she cries out his name. Jesus. Jesus. She thinks, tomorrow, Sunday, I'll go with the other women and anoint his body. He's still my son. Tomorrow's Sunday. It'll be lawful to anoint his body then. But today, Saturday, well, of course, Saturday is the Sabbath in the Jewish religion. In another part of Jerusalem, Barabbas is enjoying his first day of freedom. Following months in captivity, he thinks to himself, "I must be the luckiest fellow alive. Those fools, they crucified an innocent man. But hey, who cares? I'm alive, I'm still here. I'm free." He doesn't care that it's the Jewish Sabbath at all. He's long stopped blindly obeying those Levitical laws. It's Saturday and it's finished. Especially for that poor fool in the tomb. in a beautiful home just outside of Jerusalem. Three people sit, absorbed in their thoughts. A man and two women. The man reflects on the irony of it all. Here he is, fit and well, because Jesus raised him from the dead just a few weeks ago. But now, Jesus is in the grave, and he, Lazarus, is sitting here drinking his second cup of morning tea. Martha, his sister, is sitting still for once. She's usually a hive of activity. She's not cooking or cleaning, but she's not chattering today. She's thinking to herself, I'll never cook him another meal. I'll never wash his robe again. I'll never give him another glass of cool water. Her younger sister, Mary, sobs quietly. For some strange reason, the picture in her mind is the feet of Jesus. His feet. The last time she saw his feet, yesterday afternoon, they'd been grotesquely disfigured. Huge nails, 15 centimeters long, had been driven through them and into the wood of that cross. They didn't look like the feet that she'd anointed a few days before. They weren't the feet at which he'd sat listening to his wonderful words of wisdom. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary lost in their thoughts, but all thinking the same thing. It's Saturday, and it's finished. Well, it is Saturday. And the man that all these characters are thinking about did say, it is finished. Yesterday afternoon, when he was on that cross. Simon Peter, Caiaphas, Pilate, Pilate's wife, Judas Iscariot, Mary the mother of Jesus, Barabbas, Lazarus, Martha and Mary all think so. So let me ask you a question. If you had been there at that time, what would you have thought? What would you have thought? You see, we all live beyond the confines of that first Easter Saturday. We know that Jesus will rise, has risen from the dead. So what's the big deal about Saturday? The only reference that I could find to Saturday in the Bible is one single sentence, and Sheila read it this morning, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. That's the only reference that any of the gospel writers. So why do we need Saturday? After all, we've got Friday and we've got Sunday. Isn't that enough? Well, no, I don't think it is. I think the reason why we should make more of a big deal about Saturday is because that's where we all live, as it were. It's where most faithful believers exist every day. You see, the Son of God is dead. But it seems that life is going on just as usual. We're Saturday people. This is precisely when our faith must kick in, isn't it? On Saturday. Everything might look dark and gloomy. But our faith is what allows us to change that statement that it's Saturday and it's finished and turn it into a question. It's Saturday, but is it finished? You see, we ask this question on a Saturday, don't we? Is it finished? Is it all over then? The world will say, well, it's Saturday and it's finished. This man Jesus died on the Friday. So Saturday, just another day, isn't it? But our faith shouts back, doesn't it? It said, no. No, it's not finished. It's not finished. Yes, his death has taken place. But you've not heard the last of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, it is finished on Friday, it was not the phrase that meant the closing of a curtain at the end of a play or the blowing of the final whistle in some football game. The only thing finished on Saturday is sin, death, hell, and the grave. History will go on to tell us that Pontius Pilate will end his days living by a lake in the Swiss Alps, banished from Rome. Still washing his hands, I wonder. Josephus's History of the Roman Empire tells us this. Caiaphas will end his days and will die. His bones will be placed in ossuary, a bone box. And that bone box will eventually be displayed in a museum in Jerusalem, just a few miles from where Jesus was crucified. Judas, and no mother names her son Judas, does she? Judas will become a euphemism for villainy and treachery. But for most of the remaining characters in this story, they had a Saturday faith. Instead of looking dejectively back on Good Friday, they looked forward with great hope to Easter. And we're like them. We're all Saturday people in a Good Friday world. We're Saturday people when we pray against the odds and expect an answer. We're Saturday people when we realize that we're aging but have the hope of a brighter day. We're Saturday people when we stand by the sick bed of one of our saintly friends and know that God can work even this situation out for his good. We're Saturday people when we take a small piece of bread between finger and thumb and thank God for his unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. We're Saturday people when we lift that communion cup to our lips and drink its contents and remember that this same Jesus will come again. We're Saturday people when we hear of wars and rumors of wars, yet we have that faith that Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is on the throne of heaven. We're Saturday people when we see the coffin of a loved one slip into the ground, and in the midst of our tears, we can whisper, I'll see you in the morning. I don't particularly like Saturday, the day between Good Friday and Sunday. I want to get on with it. I want to move straight on to the celebration. I want to leapfrog over Saturday and get to Sunday because I want the party. I want the excitement. I want the resurrection to happen quickly. But friends, we have to go through Saturday to get to Sunday. Good Friday was a tough day for Jesus, wasn't it? As he hung upon that cross. But Saturday, that seemingly innocuous day in our church calendar, is when it's tough for us. You see, the Saturday is the gap between our faith and its fulfillment. It's the bridge between what we believe and what one day we shall see at his appearing. Because he will return. On Saturday, the world makes its statement, doesn't it? It's Saturday and it's finished. It's over. But on Saturday, people of faith ask the question, it's Saturday, but is it really finished? Is it really finished? And heaven answers, doesn't she? Saturday, before we see the empty tomb, before the angels tell us he is risen, before that great and glorious resurrection day, we stand against the tide of humanity and we proclaim, it's not over. Yes, he has completed the task that his Father sent him to do, but it's not finished. The best is yet to come. And I, for one, can hardly wait. Friends, he will return. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, said, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things, those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are still left after till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Encourage each other with these words. Friends, Saturday has come and gone. Today is Sunday, and he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to sing our final song, which is Thine Be the Glory. Thank you, Tom.